And Public Spending Minister Pascal Donoghue is with us, but you've been listening to Fawad's story there, Minister, and also Ethna Dodd beforehand telling us that the tents are back on the canal, that the number is 610 in the past week seeking asylum, 1,825 people without accommodation. Should Fawad be deported? Should Fawad be sent back? That's what a lot of people in the country want the government to do, to be moving the people that are in the tents, that are coming through Northern Ireland, that are trying to not be sent to Rwanda, that we should be deporting them. Should we?
As I answer the question directly about Fawad, and I will, just please allow me to put some context around this. If you look at the number of people who came looking for international protection to Ireland last year, for example, that figure was around 13,000 to 14,000. If you look at the number of people who came to Ireland on work visas, who we want and need within our country, within our economy, that figure was 166,000 people. And the reason why I make this point to you, and I will answer your question, is I think as we focus on where we are with the challenge of refugees moving across the world, but also the opportunities it can present, we shouldn't lose sight, I'm going to make that case, for the broader benefits of openness and for the fact that we have multiples of the number of people who come to Ireland seeking refuge, coming to Ireland on work visa programmes legally here and contributing so well to our country and our economy.
And you know, many people will agree with you on that point, and they will also say, in Ireland, we simply cannot cope with anymore. And they look at a government and they say, when they see the tents moving from Mount Street to the canal gets fenced off. Now there's more tents back. It's almost a macabre version of musical tents, isn't it?
And I think that is why it's important just to put this context here, because when people say, and the argument is made by a small number of politicians, that we can't take any more, as against that is the fact that we have so many people coming to our country that work in our health services, work in our large employers, work in our nursing homes, many of whom are becoming Irish and are Irish, that have become a very valuable part of our country. So therefore, with that said, allow me please then to go back to the first question you put to me regarding Fawad. So what should happen is Fawad should have the rules of our country fairly and quickly applied to him, and he should be treated in a compassionate and a fair manner. And the government is looking to do this. And we have two phases in relation to how we'll do it. In the short term, it's about the decision where we are putting more people into the parts of our government to allow applications such as Fawad's to be handled more quickly. We've doubled the resources. We've trebled the number of cases that are being processed. As we are doing that, we need to provide more emergency accommodation. And then the medium term plan is the plan the government published there a number of months ago that laid out that we will build up to 14,000 state-owned beds of emergency accommodation. And while doing that, we will implement the EU Migration and Asylum Pact. So there is a plan in place, but this plan is in the context of a war in Sudan, wars in the Middle East, a war in Ukraine, and never having more people moving across the world since World War II.
And will more wars mean more people moving to seek asylum here?
I think it is very possible that the numbers that we are seeing at the moment would at least be maintained for some time. I think it's important to be open and honest about that and to put that in context again. So we used to have around 3,000 people per year coming to Ireland looking for asylum, looking for refuge. By the middle of May, that figure was at 7,667. So we saw, by not even halfway through this year, twice what we used to get in a year. And that is why in the short term, what we are doing on processing and emergency accommodation is necessary. We want, and I believe that people such as we've just talked about here should not be in tents in our streets or by canals. Mm-hmm. We're going to have them in an alternative, but it is emergency accommodation while we are building up the state-owned and run beds that the government has committed to doing.
And a final question on this, because the criticism from opposition is not that we don't have rules, it's that the rules are not enforced. And we saw that, didn't we, when Minister McEntee was questioned at the Justice Committee recently by Michael McNamara.
But that accepts that the metric of evaluation is where we are in relation to deportation. We are deporting more people than we've deported now for many years. But many who are coming here to Ireland seeking refuge, many are doing so legally in line with EU and international law. And that is why where we are with accommodation and the processing of those applications is so important. So we need to apply our laws fairly and compassionately, which we are. We do need to move away from emergency tents in our city centre and indeed in other centres. But please allow me just to emphasise the point that I made at the very beginning. There is a very big difference between where we are with those, the challenges around asylum, which we are responding back to like every other country is at the moment, but openness, allowing people to come and work within our country, allowing them to study here, has brought enormous benefits to our country.
And the reception centres, where are they going to be? When will they be up and running?
So we have two at the moment. These are emergency centres that are near Dublin at the moment. And we will build up to that. And the government will consider on a case-by-case basis where they should go. Just to talk about
how... We've been waiting a while, though. When will we get a decision?
Well, what we have done is we have put a request for tender out now to our country, asking for accommodation to be provided or suggested. As we are doing that, we'll continue to identify the use of state land. But all that being said, we are now providing in different ways accommodation for around 30,000 people who are seeking international refuge. And as you know, that is in addition to the tens of thousands of people who have fled the war in Ukraine that are also in different forms of accommodation. So the scale of accommodation that's already been provided is multiples of what we would have been able to do a number of years ago.
Okay. And you are here, Minister, to talk about the National Development Plan update today. It's part of the process of preparing for Budget 25. The overall picture, would it be fair to say that day-to-day government spending, that's running way ahead of inflation, and then on the capital side, you've an underspend in the first quarter, but the cost of projects have gone up due to inflation and delays. Is that a fair picture?
Not quite, but it's a good summary, Áine. It's a good summary. So it's spending ahead of the rate of inflation. Inflation at the moment is falling, thank God. It's between 2 and 3%. Government spending would normally, from a current perspective, be ahead of inflation because we look to improve living standards. If it's
you
not
had to give ministers a talking to, didn't you, about their spending habits recently?
And it's part of my job, and that happens quite regularly. The key thing I need to look at is where we are versus profile. And by profile, what I mean is where what we expect to be spending in each month versus what we are. And at the start of the year in January, we were ahead of profile, ahead of what we expected to be spending. But as we look at where we are now in May, that gap is closing. And all I want to ensure is that what we are spending is in line with what we expected to spend.
Okay.
With regard to capital spending is significantly up. That's why we're building more homes. It's why we're building more schools. It's why the National Broadband Plan is making such a difference.
One of the questions people ask about, you know, the kinds of big projects that the NDP is about, why it takes, you know, why you get such an increase in cost, for instance, the Children's Hospital, way over budget and behind schedule, the metro to the airport, we've been talking about that for years. In terms of rising costs and in terms of timely delivery, how's the National Development Plan doing, and have you some examples?
It's doing well. So let me give you the examples. It's the fact that we are now contributing to 37,400 homes that are now beginning work in the first quarter of this year. It is the National Broadband Plan, which has connected around 560,000 homes to high-speed fibre optics. It's around the 71 different projects that are underway in schools all over the length and breadth of Ireland. To deal with your point there regarding cost price inflation, the reason so much of that has happened is inflation the whole world has endured. In relation to the National Children's Hospital, again and again, I've acknowledged what we could have done differently and better there. But if you look at projects such as projects that happen at our airports, if you look at the National Broadband Plan, if you look at school building projects, they are either coming in on time or on budget.
Right. And this is all part of a run-up to the budget in the autumn, which, you know, if we're to go by what was said at the party conferences, promises to be even more generous than last year. A particular question, because there was criticism about, what was it, fiscal gimmickry. It looks as though you'll breach your own 5% spending limit again. And we've heard the Taoiseach talking about keeping one-off measures like the energy credits. There can't be any justification for that, can there, when inflation's so low?
And we're one of only four countries in the European Union that have a budget surplus. and the Minister for Finance, Minister McGrath, with my own involvement and active support, is now setting up two funds which are going to deposit these surpluses in, that I think will play a huge role in looking after the economic finances of our country and the health of our country for years to come. So any charge regarding government spending should also be seen in the light of the fact that for this year alone, there's billions of euros we've decided to set aside as opposed to spending money we might not have in the future. The Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, Minister Ryan, myself and Minister McGrath have delivered four budgets that have tried to be sensible, help with today without avoiding risks tomorrow. And I believe we will do the same in our fifth budget, and preparation for that now is underway.
And finally, Minister, before I go to the headlines, your Dublin Central colleague Gary Gannon was in earlier talking about the task force that the Taoiseach has set up, and about the fact that despite years of initiatives, despite a constituency, there's been former Taoiseach, a minister like yourself, the head of the largest party in the opposition, why the story of your constituency has been one, certainly in terms of the city centre, of decline in recent years.
Well, when we talk about decline and we, for example, talk about the northeast inner city, I'd love to, for example, take you down to Sean O'Casey Avenue and show you the new primary care centre that's opened up there, providing state-of-the-art health facilities. I'd love to take you down to Rutland Street to see the tens of millions of euro that have been spent.
My dad worked on Sheriff Street. I know this
area. A brand new community facilities. Well, allow me to know. Sorry, Anya. Well, if we were on Sheriff Street.
The question is about going into town, which more and more people aren't doing. And when they're there, they don't feel safe and they are seeing open drug dealing. They are people going around on scooters and coming up. You know this as well as I do. For all the good that's going on in your constituency, this is the problem at the heart of it.
Well, I'm glad I let you interrupt me, because at least you've acknowledged there is good going on. You mentioned Sheriff Street. I've pointed a new primary school in Sheriff Street there, a beautiful new building. In relation to the city centre, of course I accept there's more that we need to do there. Just allow me to conclude on this point, and then I'm very happy to take another question on it. You know, I live in Phibsborough. I believe Dublin is the greatest city in the world. I believe the north side of Dublin is the best half of our city centre as well. But of course, always happy to make the case for the south side too. If you look at O'Connell Street at the moment, I believe there's much that is great about it. But what the Taoiseach has said, and he's right, and I support him on it, is we need to build upon it and improve it. You talked about great sadness in our city. There is much we need to change with it as well. But I also believe there's much that's great about it as well, from a culture, community, sporting and retail point of view. And we need to build upon that as well. And that's what this task force is about.
Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Pascal Donoghue, thank you for coming in to us.
Thank you.